Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
It is really good. It's really good to be able to celebrate this day of Pentecost with you. And the amazing thing is that even though we are not together, I have full confidence that God is working in you, in your home, wherever you're watching, taking a walk. That is what it means for us to be people of Pentecost. We are not tied to one place, but God is at work wherever we are. Let us pray as we come to God's word. Come, Holy Spirit, send forth the heavenly radiance of your light. Be our greatest comforter. Be the sweet guest of our souls. Fill the inmost heart of your faithful. Draw us to yourself this morning. Teach us, transform us, fill us. Amen. Well, I wonder if you noticed in the story and in the video that we showed at the beginning of this service that there were three things that happened on the day of Pentecost. One thing that was heard, one thing that was seen, and one thing that was experienced and done. When these things happened, the people who were there said, "What does this mean?" And that's the question that all of us are encouraged to ask as we look at these things: what was heard, what was seen, and what was done. So let's begin by thinking about what was heard. The sound like a violent wind. Last night, well, yesterday evening, it was quite windy. And poor old Phoebe lives with a minister. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like the day of Pentecost. And she, of course, being the nine-year-old that she is, rolled her eyes. And I thought, babe, you got a lot more of this where that came from. You got years of eye rolling because, you know, this is how it is. But the picture of wind here is not simply that idea of kind of invisible power. You know, we kind of think about, you know, if you live out where I live, where Dee lives, you know, if it's a windy day, you're actually really concerned because you could be hit by a falling tree branch. It is wild out there in Nillumbik. But it is not simply a picture of power here. What it is a picture of the essential nature of the gift of the Spirit. And in fact, it brings us right back to the book of Ezekiel. Now, the book of Ezekiel is a book in the Old Testament that uses the word spirit or breath or wind, all the same word in the Hebrew, ruach. In Greek, we use the word pneuma to talk about spirit and breath, and that's come into English through pneumonia or pneumatic. So we know that there is a connection between the ideas both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In English, we don't really get that connection. But let's remember that the word ruach means spirit, breath, and wind. In Ezekiel, it's used, that word is used the most times in the entire Old Testament. Ezekiel is kind of obsessed with the idea of the powerful wind and the breath of God and then the Spirit of God coming upon people. But it's not simply a positive gift. It's not about the power of God coming on people. It's about God's actual self bringing life or bringing judgment in Ezekiel. So at the beginning of Ezekiel, he sees this amazing vision. You might have heard the phrase wheels within wheels. Well, that's from Ezekiel. He sees God on the throne and God is on the move. And there is wind everywhere. And God leaves Jerusalem and heads to be with the exiles. And as the book of Ezekiel goes on, we can see that the people who are in exile are in exile because Israel have become dried up and dead before God because they have been disobedient, they have lived on their own terms. When we get to Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones is a picture of exactly what the people are. They are dead in their sin. They are spiritually inert. There is nothing going on for them. But God, the generous God, will not leave them like that. He has every right to. It's their own fault. They were given chance after chance and given every good thing. And yet God will not leave them as dry bones in that valley. And so we see that Ezekiel is called to prophesy to the wind and to the breath. And God says, I will put my spirit in them and they will live. So when we come to the day of Pentecost and we hear a rushing wind, a violent wind, this is a picture that what is essential for people to be the people of God has come. Maybe you think sometimes, well, it's okay, I'm just gonna be a Jesus Christian and not worry too much about that spirit stuff because it's controversial and it seems, you know, to sometimes be there for me and sometimes not, and you know, it's tough. This picture here says that the Holy Spirit is essential, not simply to living a Christian life. It is essential to life itself, the Holy Spirit. He is God's life given to us. Luke, the person who wrote Acts, knows that the Spirit is given because of the generosity of God. And God is giving His very life to the church on that day, and to you and to me. Luke chapter 11 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is the breath of God. When Adam became a living being, when humans were created, what made us living, spiritually living and physically living, was the breath of God. And so on Pentecost, we see not only the birth of the church, not only the power of God, we see the life of God, the essential gift of life, come upon us. And so when we come and ask God for the Spirit, we oughtn't to be nervous or ashamed or reticent or worried. We should be bold, coming to the generous God, because it's the only way that we can live. Well, the second thing that happened was that they saw tongues of fire. Now, I don't have my special crown on, and I've got my little flaming feathers or whatever you think they might look like in my background. But the picture of the flame, once again, is a powerful Old Testament image. As you know, I used to work at Ivanhoe Girls, and as a chaplain, you know, you want to have props and things for your sermons. And a prop made out of red cellophane to equal fire was just ubiquitously useful for Old Testament teaching because it's always there. Abraham, when Abraham meets God in the vision in Genesis 15, God comes to him as a flaming torch. When Moses meets God, it's a burning bush. When the people of Israel are living in the presence of God, they are walking with a pillar of fire and a pillar of flame. When the tabernacle and the temple are consecrated to God and we've got the Ark of the Covenant, fire and cloud are above it. This is the symbol of the presence of God. And so not only is God saying, you need to live through my spirit, he's saying, I will live with you. You are never alone. Every Christian, Tim Keller says, is now a burning bush. And it's not from within. It's not something that you need to stir up. Did you see that picture is outside? It's a gift. It is not you providing the resources that you need to answer the world's problems. You know, everything that you need is within you. This is resource from the outside. It is life from the outside for those who feel dry. It is presence from the outside that now lives within. For fire to rest upon every believer in that room is profound. It's not just coming upon the apostles. There were apostles there, and maybe we would have thought they were the ones who would wear the crown, right? You know, maybe that's why the bishop's hat looks like that. It's not, but we could go with that. But it's everyone. It's the least to the greatest. It's everyone. The fire of God's presence. Every person is now a burning bush. Every person is now where God meets with us. And of course, poor old Sarah had to read that list of nations. And that's just to show us more that it's not simply just the people who are gathered in that room that could be ministered to, but it's people from every nation. Christianity works in every language, in every culture. No one owns this experience of the Holy Spirit. No one people group says, I am the one who bears the presence of God. This is the gift of the generous God. I will pour out my spirit on all people, old and young, men and women, people of every tribe and language. This is the generosity of God. The third thing that they experience is something that they do. So there's been the wind that they've heard, and it's the essential life of God. There've been fire that they've seen, and it's the very presence of God. And the third thing is they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, we might do some more teaching later on in the year or maybe next year on the gift of tongues and all the gifts of the Spirit. But what I want us to see here is the word and. In Luke and in Acts, so often when the Holy Spirit fills someone, it's with an and. They were filled with the Spirit and spoke. They were filled with the Spirit and prayed boldly. They were filled with the Spirit and rebuked the magician. Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit and she spoke to Mary and praised the child that was in her womb. The Holy Spirit's fullness came upon the people of God so that the generosity of God would go out in their actions. Now, it wasn't always action. Sometimes we see that there was someone full of the Spirit and another characteristic. So Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Others were said full of faith and the Holy Spirit. But we can see that the generosity of God is changing people and bringing forth action from people so that his generosity might go forth to the world. So that people of all nations can hear and respond to Jesus. So that we can be bold in our prayers and our proclamation and be willing to sacrifice our liberty for the sake of Jesus. So that we can stand up against evil and injustice. I'm just kind of going through the book of Acts where I said those filled with the Spirit and. Maybe you want to do that. Take some time. Have a look. Or you can do some searching on something like Bible Gateway and see where you get filled with the Holy Spirit and. God is a generous God. And he doesn't simply empower us to live for him on our own. God gives his very self, his own breath, his own fiery presence. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not consumed by it. And we aren't dead bones that need to be resurrected. In fact, we live and then we go to true abundant life when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. I've read, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you ask today to be filled afresh, perhaps to be filled for the first time with the Holy Spirit, you can be certain that God will do it. God is not a God who holds back. Pentecost shows us that. Nothing of himself is held back from his children. And the generosity of that God just blows my mind. Maybe you've asked yourself, well, why is my life not as kind of exciting as the apostles, as the disciples, as those that were in the book of Acts? You know, I'm just doing my thing, I'm doing the dishes, I'm cleaning my house, or maybe that's rare. I'm studying, I'm trying to work Zoom, you know, that constantly, all day, every day, or Microsoft Teams. Well, I kind of thought about this guy when I was thinking, can you see this? There we go. Can you see him? It's the Milky Way. Now, it's quite a big one too, so I'll take that for later. So Vicar of Dibley. Oh, no. Anyway. Do you remember what they used to say? I don't know if they still say it. Do you remember what they used to say, how they used to advertise the Milky Way? That it wouldn't ruin your appetite. That was the thing. It was like, it was a great thing for parents to give to their kids because they'd still eat their dinner. Even if they had, maybe it wasn't this size, maybe it was like, you know, that size. But that was the advertising. You'd still be hungry after you ate it. To me, that is bizarre. You know, I think we know a bit more about nutrition maybe. Who cares? They're still on sale and I'm still going to eat it later. But the point is, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we actually need to remain hungry for him. Now, if I ate 10 of these, even though the nutrition would be extremely lacking, I probably wouldn't want my dinner. And the thing is, in our lives, that's what we're doing every day. We're filling ourselves up on things that we're never supposed to satisfy, and the nutrition isn't there, but we're not hungry. We're just so full of other stuff. I think part of what this lockdown has done for me is to say, look at the things that you use to keep yourself full. Some of them are taken away. Do you feel empty? Some of them, well, they're really highlighted and just pushed even more, you know, online shopping, other social media. Are we hungry to be filled with God's Spirit? Are you hungry? Why do you think the church fasted? It was to say we do not live by all the little things that we could fill ourselves up with that were never supposed to fill us. We need to live by God's Holy Spirit. We need to be hungry for God's Holy Spirit to fill us. I want to take some time just for us to kind of reflect and pray. I believe that God is able and wanting to fill your life afresh today with His Holy Spirit, to bring life to those places where you thought there was just dry bones. Can I talk to you about that? There will be parts in almost all of us that you think are too far gone. Maybe you feel, I'm just always grumpy. I'm always anxious. I'm always tired. I'm always sad. I've lost so much. This part of me will never live again. The Holy Spirit, the rushing wind, is the breath of God, the life of God. And as He moves in you, He brings things to life. And He will do that without you having to force it and make it happen. I remember when I was just living in the unforgiveness of a relationship that had gone really sour. And I can't remember if I've shared this before, but you've probably forgotten anyway, so that's all right. And I thought, well, it's over. It was a friend. It was not a romantic relationship. It's over. You know, they've hurt me and you know, everything's just dead there. And I, you know, I've got nothing. I don't want to forgive them. And in the midst of worship one day, I just felt God's Holy Spirit suddenly draw out from me all the unforgiveness, everything that had made that relationship dead and dry. He just did it. There was no expectation, no asking. I was simply saying, God, I love you. God, I worship you. Jesus, you are Lord. Whoa! I thought that area was dead and gone. And in fact, God brought it back to life, so much so that that person could come to my induction here at Deep Creek. So powerful, God's life-giving work. Perhaps you are feeling really lonely in this lockdown. Maybe you think, well, everyone's talking about loneliness, but before I was still lonely. And even when things open and, you know, someone said to me the other day, so I just have to go and sit in a cafe by myself. What difference does it make? God really is alive and present to those who have his Holy Spirit. And all you need to do is ask. Jesus Christ has made a way for God to live with you and in you at all times. I know we feel loneliness, but we really are never alone, and I want God to minister to that to you today, if that is your situation. And finally, maybe you feel that you had energy to do ministry way back when. You had energy to share the gospel. You had energy to care for the needs of others. But now maybe you don't even know someone who's in need. Maybe you don't even hardly talk to anyone who doesn't already know Jesus. Well, I want to say to you today that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to a filled and moment. This is what he does. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and not have a change in you and through you to the world. Look out for it. Ask for it. He will do it. And I believe he's going to do it through our church. We here at Deep Creek, the temple of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit and reaching out, facing injustice, not being afraid, praying with boldness, sharing the word across all people, all backgrounds, all races, all everything. So that the generous God is known throughout the whole world and more people. In fact, we prayed this morning, Dee prayed, God longs for all people to know his goodness, his glory, his presence, and his life. Well, we're going to take just a few moments of quiet. I'm going to ask the girls to come up and prepare to start playing as we share communion together. We have a video that leads us in a prayer asking the Holy Spirit to transform us. Take some time, and then we'll move into sharing communion if you need to prepare the elements for that.